following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It is our Sunday version, and we are not doing anything in the cybersecurity world this week. Mr. AI Nguyen was not able to join me today. He's got some electrical grid issues where he's at, trying to resolve them. And no, he's not in Iran. So it has nothing to do with the bombing that took place yesterday on that part of the world. Pretty amazing. If you've read any of the articles or seen any of the illustrations on YouTube or TV or whatever source you might frequent for your updates, the ability, well, it's just amazing all the way around. I mean, the ability for the bombs to do what they do in terms of breaking through reinforced concrete, rock, etc., and to be used in tandem the way they were, where one makes the hole, two makes it bigger, and three makes it even deeper and bigger. And then not only that, just the logistics of getting those planes to that part of the world from where they are in the Midwest here in the U.S. It's truly remarkable. And, you know, you can say a lot about whether it's right or wrong, what we do to support Israel, and why we, yeah, I hear the argument by those on the left and some on the right that, you know, well, who are we to decide who else in the world can have a nuclear weapon? Well, you know, it's kind of like winning the election. Each time we have one, elections have consequences. And I would tell you that being the biggest and most powerful military in the world has consequences. And we hope that we always do the right thing. But in this case, I don't recall either Israel or the U.S. repeatedly talking about wiping Iran off the face of the earth. I mean, you know, that's been Iran's mantra for how many years now? And I'm sorry, I think we would be derelict in our obligations to the rest of the world, because they would be next if we didn't stick up for our country and what our style of living, et cetera, represents. And again, I'm not going to tell you we're perfect. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, in fact, I may try to talk about it a little bit more today. I'm going to suggest that you may want to relocate for assorted reasons, all of which are valid for most people, to another part of the world where, you know, here in Thailand, we don't worry about Iran bombing us. Now, admittedly, if Iran were to do something catastrophic to the U.S., that's going to affect the whole world. But just generally speaking, there are other places in the world that you can relocate, and maybe you do it because you realize you're behind on your retirement savings, and you may not have enough money to make it through to the end, or maybe you would prefer a better quality of health care at a lower price, or maybe you would prefer better scenery than perhaps where you reside now. You know, the convenience of this lifestyle, and we'll go into more of this if I have time later on the show, but I'm just suggesting to you there's a lot of reasons to take stock of where you sit now before it's too late, or you get to an age where, you know, everything's hard, or you have some health issues where everything's harder. You know, you should think of these things now and be in a position where your life is easier, maybe a better lifestyle. There's a number of reasons that people seek out Southeast Asia, and including, and what I would argue is the best spot in Southeast Asia from a number of perspectives, Thailand. Anyway, all that said, thanks for tuning in today, and we will be talking more about the deficit and our increasingly dire demographics in terms of our age and what that's doing to our fiscal picture, our borrowing, and our cost of living as a country. And it's pretty, it's a stark picture. And, you know, I know we Americans, or at least our leaders, seemingly think that we can always pull a rabbit out of the hat later on. But, you know, we are ready. I talked for a bit about the Social Security report, the annual Social Security report that was issued by the trustees. And one of the, I think we discussed this point. If we didn't, we may take a look back here in a few minutes. But one of the best things we could have done was index prices and index assorted other components in the Social Security system to a 75% level of what the existing ones were. Well, now we're past the point. We don't have enough time to where if we implemented that type of solution, and it's probably one of the better solutions if you look at the other options, it's too late. And, you know, we need to take action now. But in any event, we'll talk about some of the math here later on. I have added a couple more videos by Representative Schweikert, Arizona Republican, up to our website. It's on the resources page of the BA Planner Show website, which you can get to by either going directly to that site, or you can go to baplanner.com and click the show link at the top of that page, and you can get there. But this guy, it's pretty remarkable, his database, his knowledge base on the different drivers and the different outcomes of where we've been, what we've done, what we haven't done, what we should have done, about the math. He really does try to stay with focus on the math, because, as he says, in fact, the latest video he posted, the title of it is "Math Will Eventually Win on U.S. Debt and Fiscal Failure." And it's just, you know, it's inconvertible, or it's without controversy. Let me say that. It's the math. And, you know, we focus on the math on a lot of the topics we talk about on the show. And this is an easy one. I mean, if you don't understand, I know the dollars are big. Okay, wipe off as many of the zeros as you want to make it easy to understand. And basically, we won't win if we don't take action now to turn the ship around. Everything's against us. The demographics are going the wrong way. We don't have enough younger people working, paying into the Social Security and Medicare systems and income tax systems. And the price of everything continues to go up, inflationary or otherwise. And yes, we've got some great newer technology out of in the interim period, but, you know, that kind of works against us in a way as well, because we're going to live longer. with the medical advances that we've made, and therefore we need more money going into retirement. And, you know, I'm not a magician. I can't have money fall out of the trees for you, but I can tell you what to do with what you have in a couple scenarios that can greatly increase your outputs as you get down the road. For those of you that don't have existing advisors, and I always recommend that you run any strategy or any investment opportunity. And when I talk about investment opportunities, I'm referring primarily to the type of investments. We focus on real estate private partnership syndications. We don't recommend specific syndications or specific sponsors or specific anything. We try to help you understand the general parameters on what you might encounter or have available if you get interested and start trying to figure out how you're going to catch up on your retirement savings, because there's not a lot of ways of doing that have the relative low risk that real estate private partnership syndications do, and sure not crypto. And of course the lottery's out. Even the lottery's got problems. If you've read the Texas lottery, if you've read the recent goings on there. But in any event, but if you don't have advisors, feel free to go to our website. You can go to baplanner.com, and if you look at the top right area of our navigational link area, you'll see forms, and if you click on that link, it'll take you to some intake forms. And if you would be kind enough to fill out at least the first one, the client profile, fill out all of them if you have time, but at least the first one will give us enough information about your specific facts and circumstances where we can have a conversation with you, which you can also set up on that same web page. If you look at the top right in the links again, you'll see call. And if you click that, you'll be taken to a call scheduler, and be happy to spend some time with you to discuss your current situation if you would like. Let's go ahead. We just are right on top of our first break. Before we get into a couple articles, let's go ahead and go take a break. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at beaplanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and as I mentioned earlier, we're going to discuss debt, and more debt with respect to our federal situation and the dire straits that it's in at the moment. You know, for those of you that have been asleep, we're now at $37 trillion, which, again, is just the number that we will admit to. It's far higher than that if you look out over the future in terms of what we've already committed to, either budgetarily or statutorily, you know, et cetera. The die's already been cast. We don't need to go vote on it again in Congress. We've already done that. And so, you know, it's just a matter of time before those dollars will need to be added into the current budgetary cycle. And, you know, we're the only developed economy that reports our balance sheet, if you will, of the country without including that future debt. And it's pretty amazing that we can get away with that. And of course, you know, we won't get away with our debt growth forever, because you've got you know, a little thing called GDP, where our debt to GDP ratio is climbing upward. We're currently well over the 100% mark, depending on which set of economists you want to hitch your wagon to, whichever ones you think are the most reliable predictor of the future. But none of them think we're under 100% anymore, I don't think. I don't think I've seen that level discussed in a while. I think we're currently closer to the 130% mark, might be the average if you looked at half a dozen of the economic prognosticators, as it were. And we're somewhere in the $150 trillion range if you look at the totality of our debt. $150 trillion. And, you know, that's just crazy. In any event, I was, I wanted to talk real quick about David Swikert, the Arizona congressman. I had added a couple more videos since last week, I guess it was. And if you look, let's just look real quick at our videos page under resources. This is on the Be A Planner Show.com website. Under the resources, you've got a news tab and a videos tab. Select videos, and then at the top you'll see there were two videos he posted from his speech on the floor. Of course, he does these speeches in the evening hours when, I guess, any congressman can schedule time and you know, be able to say their piece. Well, he takes advantage of it, kind of like Dr. Ron Paul used to do back in the day, only he wasn't doing it in the evening hours. He was doing it, I believe, at the beginning of congressional sessions when each congressman had, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 minutes to speak. But much to the chagrin of all the other congressmen, probably even the Republicans, of which he was one, Dr. Paul would take the occasion to rail and rail about Congress's spending, even back then. This is back, he was my representative, District, I believe, 22, running from Lake Jackson all the way up to Southeast Houston. And I tell you what, we need more like him. Unfortunately, we're behind the eight ball. But anyway, the videos that I added, one is where he, again, I mentioned this just a minute ago, the math will eventually win is the topic. And, you know, Schweikert walks you through it and makes it easy for you to understand why it's so dire. Now, you know, the numbers are so big, you know, you're probably going to be thinking, well, gee, what can I do? It's like a massive train heading down the tracks. Well, you know, that is true, but there's certain things, if you have certain variables in your life, in your financial life, or the ability to purchase certain investments, then there are things you can do to sidestep said train. And as an example, the Roth conversion, which is something we talk about almost every show to some extent on this program, is definitely something that you should be doing over the next, I don't know, minimum of 5-6 years, and likely maybe more like 8 or 9 years, depending on the outcomes of, you know, the elections between now and then. But I would tell you, you want to do it incrementally, you know, a piece at a time, so you can keep your tax rate down to a level that is more palatable. And, you know, currently we seek to keep our clients in a 22 to 24% tax bracket so that your cost of conversion is not, you know, off the charts. I mean, if you had $1.5 million, as an example, in your 401 and you wanted to convert that to Roth and you did it all in 1 year, by the time you add that income, even if you're getting the private company discounts, we talk about it at times, it's going to move you up into maybe 32 to almost 40%. In tax. And so that would not be smart, given that you can do this pro rata, and also given the way the rules work, where you don't have to convert. If you've got these partnerships, these private, if you own an interest in these private syndication partnerships, you can convert without liquidating. You don't have to sell anything. It's simply a matter of deciding what the value of that investment or piece of that investment is, which, you know, is something we can help you with. And then you add that piece to your taxable income for the year, including your whatever you've got, salary and wages, or maybe you're already well into retirement and you've got required minimum distributions because you didn't convert to Roth. You know, if you have Roth funds, you don't have required minimum distributions. That's still another reason to convert to Roth. You're talking about spending some dollars today at a much lower threshold than it's going to be in the future. I mean, under any scenario that people that understand economics and understand the debt, the deficit, et cetera, the math indicates the rates will go up. It's a question of when, and we have a 5-year range on that, you know, somewhere 28, 29, or 30. That's 2028, 2029, or 2030, because there's still some unknowns in what's the interest rate going to be. How much do we continue to borrow? Do you realize that right now we borrow $6 billion a day to fund our ravenous spending appetite? Next year we'll be at about the $7 billion mark. 9 years out, we'll be at $10 billion a day. That's unheard of. And at the same time, we're chewing a bigger chunk of, effectively chewing, of GDP. It's scaling up even higher, that ratio. And, you know, the ability to continue to pay the interest on the debt is significantly challenged at that 5 to 6 year mark in the future, when we will have no more, unless we raise taxes or we monetize certain assets, or we're able to liquidate office buildings. You know, apparently we own 14,000 empty office buildings collectively, the government does. There's a lot of possible outcomes, but probably not enough if you're going to continue to spend. Oh, by the way, so we're in total for the year, we've got $2.1 trillion deficits each year for the next 10 years at least. That's the number that the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office's financial report that they issue each year, shows. They project forward 10 more years. So, you know, our spending continues at the we're collecting about $5 trillion. We're spending $7 trillion, roughly. And that doesn't appear to be diminishing anytime soon. And, you know, by the year 2034, we'll have an extra, you know, we'll be north of $50 trillion in the current cumulative deficit. So we will have added another $20 trillion to the $37 trillion. We'll be closer to $60 trillion. And that assumes we don't have just a disaster on interest rates skyrocketing. If we can't pay 100%, and this won't happen, I can promise you, higher taxes are going to be the solution to avoid the calamity that will result if we cannot pay 100% of the interest on the debt at such time as, you know, we've run through the rest of the discretionary portion of the budget. That's how we pay it now. And so if you think about it, if we let it get to that point, it will be very difficult to sell new treasury bonds to cover that excess spending. And before you say, well, you know, can't we just print more money? We can do that. And then it's like a toilet, a vortex, like you flush the toilet, we'll go down faster than you can imagine and be in a bigger world of hurts than we are now. The modern monetary policy folks advocate for that. And, it's kind of scary that they think, hey, we can just spend our way out of it, or print, I'm sorry, not spend, well, that too, print our way out of it. And I would tell you that that's never worked in the past. Not one example of our economy or any other economy that's done that. Of course, they maintain it's how you do it. You know, you got to put the money into the hands of people that are spending money in our economy. I'm not so sure about that. I think we did that. Did we not do that with the stimulus money? I mean, I realize it might have been on a lesser scale, or maybe not. I don't know. It may have been the same scale, because it was, I believe, it was north of $1 trillion. So how much are you going to print, you know, if you go down that path? But In any event, we will no doubt be raising taxes. And if you don't like paying tax now, which, again, our tax rates, I've said this many times, at the moment are some of the lowest tax rates in our lifetime. And so if you don't like paying the taxes now, and I'm talking about income tax. I'm not talking about FICA and Medicare. Those are the highest they've ever been, and those are going to go higher if we take off the cap on, you know, currently, I believe our, let me look real quick, our Social Security maximum, maximum withholding, I believe it's $170,300 a year. Let's see here. Many of you may not know what the number is because you haven't hit it. I'm sorry, I was off. It went up once since I slept. $176,100 is the max. So the reason some of you may not know is because you're under that threshold. But anyway, one of the things that will probably happen, there's bipartisan support, is that in the not too distant future, you're going to see that cap, that maximum taxable earnings limit, that for 2025 is $176,100. That will be removed. And that means that the current rule, which says that any income earned above this limit is not subject to Social Security tax, that will change. And I don't think it's, I would say it's a foregone conclusion because, you know, first of all, they won't get, if Congress does that, they won't get nearly the pushback if they were to raise the percentage that gets withheld. And they may do both because they may not have a choice. And I know those of us that are old enough to collect Social Security feel like, well, hey, you know, we paid in under the rules as they were, and that's what we expect, you know, to have operate on what we can collect. And I don't know. I haven't started taking Social Security yet. I'm eligible. And I tell you, when I look at how sad, when I was reading the Social Security trustees report, I was thinking, you know, maybe a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, as the expression goes. But thus far, I'm still holding out, hopefully, till I turn 67, full retirement age in my case. So in any event, I don't know, the trustees report will shock you. At least it'll wake you up. And you really, it makes you have such a low opinion of our collective leadership to think that they've let it get to this point of insolvency. And I don't know, I guess, you know, we'll come up with some magic, but it won't be magical. It's going to be cuts is what's involved. And by the way, the cuts to each benefit check, if you're talking Social Security, which I'm not talking about Medicare at this moment, cuts to Social Security would be somewhere between 23% and 25% in 2034 across the board. Each check would be cut. It's already baked into the law, into the statute. And since I mentioned Medicare, the hospital insurance, which is one of the bigger chunks of Medicare funding, in 2033, when that system, that's separate from Social Security, of course, its insolvency date falls a year earlier. And just the hospital insurance piece will have a 12% or 11%, I'm sorry, 11% cap. Again, these are based on assumption sets that are kind of a moving target, so it could be worse. And I don't know, the ability to fund all this stuff, it's like we got a big tree that's literally got limbs leaning down to the ground. You know, they're just overburdened with the cost. And I think about some of the older, you know, the old school companies and government, you know, government's benefit plans that, you know, when you look at the dollars involved, it's like, you know, you just think about how did they get the bright idea to pay for retirees into, you know, infinity, basically, right? You know, when they didn't know the cost. I mean, you think about it, I haven't seen a number lately, but I remember back when the GM benefit cost, you know, that'd be a good number to zone in on. GM benefit cost per vehicle produced. Let's see what that's up to now in 2025. I'm sure it's scary. Let's see. Well, in 2025, GM expects a negative impact of $4 to $5 billion. That's due to the tariffs. Maybe are they comparing that? Well, I'm not sure. This is AI, which explains explains it, doesn't it? I'll come up with that number when we go to break. Speaking of, let's take a break, and I'll go grab that number and have it for you when we get back. But these costs are much the same. It's much the same issue on a smaller scale than Social Security and Medicare. It's just shocking what the dollars are. I mean, each year, Medicare, Medicaid combined is our largest expenditure, largest component of our annual budget. And you can see that out at the usdebtclock.org. I'll mention that number in total when we come back. And Social Security's number two. Anyway, okay, let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing. Take me away, I want to be big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Ross, CPA, and this is our final segment. And before, right before the break, I was talking about the enormous cost that budgets, you know, the federal budgets, state budgets, et cetera, even like, to put it in local terms, the city of Houston's fire and police pension plans and health costs are just, and I'm not making a position here either way. I love the police. I love the firemen. Love everything about, you know, they're taking care of us. But at some point, it's like Representative Swikert says at the federal level, it's a math issue and it's a demographics issue, which ultimately translates to it being a tax issue. And I've lost track of how many billions of dollars the city of Houston is in the hole, and that's got to be paid somehow. You know, the money has to be collected to pay out the people that earned that care, you know, in their retirement years. Anyway, I did not find a number specifically for GM, but I did find a number that no doubt means it's a ginormous amount when it said that they don't specifically, they're talking about the UAW benefit cost per vehicle, which is what I've finally figured out. That's what gets this topic, you know, into the search results. It's not specifically or explicitly stated in available information. However, the new UAW contract with Ford includes significant increases in wages and benefits, which will undoubtedly impact the cost per vehicle. Specifically, the contract includes a 30% increase in top wages, 68% increase in starting wages. But in any event, there was another Google hit on Google that said it, the new contract GM has or had will add $500 to $575, add that much to whatever the existing was. I guess they don't like publishing it for competitive reasons, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I tell you what, you know, I can't remember all the discussions, but back when we bailed out GM, I believe the bailout took care of the retirement piece that, you know, they already had on their balance sheet where they had to continue to pay it. But the government's, whatever GM is, that's a peanut compared to what the federal government is. And when you look at the numbers of people and the numbers of dollars, it's just, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. By the way, I also had alluded to the debt clock, usdebtclock.org, and the amount of our budgetary, the top four budgetary components. Medicare and Medicaid is sitting at $1.687 trillion at this minute. That's for the current budgetary cycle. It'll end in September 30th of this year. Social Security is $1.52 trillion. Interest expense, $1.031 billion plus. It's over $1 trillion, folks, in interest expense. And defense spending, believe it or not, since about a year ago, has fallen behind interest on the debt. Now, I'm not sure how that'll change moving forward here in the near term. We've got some bunker-busting bombs that we're going to have to replace at a minimum. And let's hope we can avoid replacing some of the B-2 bombers. I think those are north of $1 billion each, which they are incredible tools, incredible assets. But anyway, okay, let's talk about an article I found that I'm hopeful to talk more about on upcoming shows until it passes. And you know from my discussion this past week, I had several articles by the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. That's the CRFB.org site. And they've got one that just came out a day, let's see, yeah, the day after the Friday show, so I didn't have it. It's a 2025 reconciliation tracker. And as you know, in, or maybe you don't know, Congress currently is arguing over, mainly the Republicans are arguing with each other about what they're going to do to advance to passage of the current big, beautiful bill. And the House passed the reconciliation package. It's going to happen by virtue of a process referred to as reconciliation because it minimizes the number of votes that have to be taken. But in any event, the House passed the reconciliation package on May 22nd, and then the bill headed over to the Senate. And in any event, they each operated under different instruction sets because they interpret the reconciliation rules a little bit differently. And I don't have the differences in my head, but suffice it to say, they can start with different baselines. They can opt to include different estimates of maybe revenue coming in versus expenditures going out. And but in any event, this tracker, and you can find this again at CRFB.org, and you know, they're showing each step of the way what's being added or what's being taken out. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see who's got the most powerful turf, if you will, amongst the senators and can stave off changes. But in any event, they're apparently nowhere near as close as Mr. Trump would like to see him. I think I saw an article the other day, maybe I can find it before this coming Friday show, because it had several you know, milestones. But apparently July 4th is what he's figured the drop-dead date is, that this has to happen. But the most interesting part of this article, in my estimation, is I just had no idea the different sections and the details that have to be. I don't know how they can even read the darn thing by July 4th, much less have some type of debate. I understand they avoid filibuster by using reconciliation. When I said it changes the votes required, well, the big one is it changes the need to have a vote to get a bill out of the filibuster stage, which, as you may or may not know, the filibuster process means that one member of the Senate, as long as they can stay awake and remain hydrated, I suppose, can stall discussion in the Senate. And there's been some incredibly long filibusters here in the recent past. I think, you know, you may recall Cory Booker was one that lasted a good deal on the floor. I can't remember. There was another Democrat that went quite a way. And, of course, part of it's for show, but inevitably there's not a filibuster, though, on the reconciliation pathway to passing. And so it's going to be interesting to continue to visit this tracker from time to time, because it's showing in living color the components of the bill and whether they're in red or black, meaning have they changed it, have they cut it, and the milestone they're starting from, and then of course the status, and then you've got a column of resources that you can go look at the specifics if you care to, and I don't care to get into it at that level on the show, but there will be things, no doubt, that come up, like the SALT tax, the state and local tax issue, that will no doubt be something that we'll want to discuss once it's set in concrete, if it does get set in concrete, which I'm sure it will. Let's wrap up. We've got a couple minutes left. I want to just mention again the Roth conversion, because of the one thing that you, if you have pre-tax retirement plans, being IRAs or 401s, that's the one thing that most people can qualify for, as opposed to maybe if we looked at a index universal life policy to do a cash value strategy, which is a very valid strategy. It's better a tax strategy in some ways than the Roth. The problem is you've got to have the underwriting capability in terms of your health. And but, you know, often we use a combination, and there's other things we use. And then we also don't forget, you still have a standard deduction. It's not like you have to get down to zero taxable income, but we don't want to leave anything on the table we can otherwise utilize. And the standard deduction is proposed right now as part of the reconciliation process to go up by $6,000, I believe, is the current number for married filing joint. Okay, we're at the end of the show. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to being back on Friday at 11 a.m. again on The Voice of Texas. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.